this is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And my name is Julian Joiello, your host, along with, of course, Ben Starr.
Great to be back, Julian.
Ben Starr. I wish I had such a cool name.
Your name's pretty cool.
My name's like a mountainside, Julian Joiello.
Yeah, but it has that alliteration, you know, the double soft G. It's catchy.
I'm GG.
Yeah.
GG. Oh, wait, are you BS?
Hey, be nice.
It stands for something much better, Ben Starr. And you're listening to The Positive Mind right after Christmas and the holidays, New Year coming up this week. So what kind of place are we in right now? It's been weird. The weather has been weird. The holidays have been strange. It's a strange place, and there's a lot happening. And this Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever you were celebrating this year, or every year probably, I'm sure you found yourself buying presents for people.
Getting
presents for people. If it wasn't material things, doing things for family members, helping people out, you know, flying a family member to your house or taking care of them when they came over. And there's a lot of giving happening, which is great. And we were talking about giving last week, giving just randomly, random acts of kindness.
Giving of your time.
Giving of your time and just, you know, seeing how that works. And today when we take phone calls, I'm sure we'd love to hear from some of the people who did that and what kind of experience they had, if it was beneficial to them.
Yeah, and what did you give and what did you receive? But, you know, we often hear, Julian, that it is better to give than to receive.
Right, and it's interesting to think about the people that naturally are givers.
Right.
And also receivers or takers, we like to call it, givers and takers. So, givers. What are these people like? I mean, if you guys know the Enneagram, which we use a lot more when Armand was around, but we still do use it. It's a personality type. There's a quiz, a 150 question quiz, and it's a really beautiful beautiful thing. There's a book that we have in the studio that we use, and there's 9 different types, and the second one is called the helper or the giver or the helper or the giver.
I like to think of the givers as the most altruistic, selfless, and generous people.
Right, and so there's something great about this Enneagram book. It's not just 9 types, and there's 9 types of people in the world, and that's it. You know what I mean? There's different levels of each type in each person. There's healthy levels and unhealthy levels. And for example, on the unhealthy level for the giving type, so let's say you're a giving kind of person. An unhealthy giving person will give to all these people in their lives. They keep doing it because they're the giver type. But what happens is they want what they gave back. And if they don't get it, they get very, very angry. They get explosively angry and frustrated and start, exploding in a way that seems irrational because the people in their lives they've been giving to didn't expect that. Because these giver types are not the kinds of people that show their anger all the time.
Or they've just given so much of themselves, right? Whether it's their time, giving emotionally, financially, materially, that they wind up with nothing left for themselves.
Absolutely.
And not just in a material sense. So when we talk about givers and takers, it's not just, you know, giver good, taker bad. And as always, we look at more of the nuanced side of things here on The Positive Mind, and we want to explore both sides of, you know, these types. And there's a third type that we'll talk about a little bit later. But what are some more traits, Julian, of the giver?
Well, I mean, look, the giver is the caring person who wants everybody to, there's a social instinct in the Enneagram, so, I mean, we don't want to get too much into the Enneagram, but let's say you're a social, you know, you have a social kind of base to you, and you're this giving type. You want everybody to like you, and you want to be everybody's friend. So what ends up happening is you end up being this person who wants everybody to like them, who you go out and you meet somebody and you want that person to like you, and it becomes your quest to sort of have everybody that you know like you in some way or another. And what's interesting is on the flip side, when somebody doesn't like you, it really becomes a crusade to sort of make sure that this person doesn't hate you.
So would a giver be the type of person who might pick up the whole tab, when a group eats out at a restaurant, even if they can't maybe afford it.
Right, or they might cover their friends every time they go out, 90% of the time, just because they feel like, oh, you know, why not? It'll make them happy. It's worth it. It's just money. Because to me, this friendship is worth so much more.
Invaluable.
Right, it is invaluable. And there's a lot of really, I mean, I think these are some of the most beautiful people in the world, too. But they have, there's stuff that people don't actually address, because a lot of the time these givers are so giving that they end up, nobody ends up focusing on what they're feeling. And I think that's something really interesting to talk about today. So I have a couple questions that I devised for our listeners out there. If you're this kind of person, just think about it. So can you not deal with people that don't like you? Does it bother you? You know, do you has there been a time where you simply like somebody just because they like you first? There's no other reasons other than, I mean, maybe they're a little attractive and they're a little interesting, but just the fact that they liked you so much kind of made you enamored with them.
That's definitely a draw for a lot of people out there.
Yeah. Do you constantly give and find very few people reciprocating to the level that you give to them? Is there something, you know, you find yourself, let's say you got a really beautiful, beautiful present for your, you know, your sister, your brother, your uncle. You get them this beautiful thing. You thought it through. It's from this, you know, this inside joke you guys had from 3 years ago when you went to the park and you saw this squirrel without a tail, and you bought this
stuffed squirrel
and you cut the tail off and you named it and you sewed his name into the bottom of the squirrel. And it's like, wow, what, you know, wow, this is such a thoughtful gift. I thought so much. It's going to be great. They're going to love it.
And they emailed you an electronic Christmas card as their gift.
Right, and you give them this squirrel, this stuffed squirrel, and there's all this, you know, this is that time with me and you. We were so intimate and so beautiful. And then, and then they send you an e-card, or they send you a gift card to Amazon, which is great. You know, you can buy anything you want on Amazon, but the thought that you gave behind it was not there, and you're sitting there. And for those givers who are in the middle of the healthy and the unhealthy range, it's not wrong for you to think, well, he's not giving me what I gave him, and I'm a little mad about that.
Right.
I'm a little bit mad. I'm a little frustrated. And what happens to givers, I think, is that they get frustrated, but they don't tell people about it. So they don't tell their uncle, or they don't tell their father or their brother. They say, well, I gave you this squirrel and you just gave me, you didn't give me anything even nearly like what, you didn't think about your gift. You gave everybody the same thing. You know, it's this place where these givers don't get a chance to express themselves because they're constantly worried about everybody else's emotions.
That's right. And they may rub up against takers who, by their very nature, are trying to get as much as possible from every interaction,
right,
without contributing in return.
Yeah, and you would say if you've got a giver and a taker, they meet each other at a bar, right? And the giver's like, hey, let me buy you a drink.
They'll become fast friends.
Oh, sure, I'll have a drink. And they get along really well, and the taker's talking a lot and talking about all these stories and things, and the giver's just listening. Oh, wow, that sounds so interesting. Oh, wow, I'm so sorry you went through that. Oh, wow. And the givers, you know, enjoying this too. These givers do really enjoy giving, but it can get difficult because then all of a sudden this relationship is built where the taker is just used to taking and the giver is just used to giving. And when either of them step out of themselves, step out of their designated roles, it feels weird. And so all of a sudden when the giver starts talking about himself or herself, the taker's like, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you mad at me? You're not giving me as much attention as I'm used to, which is a lot of attention. And are you, did I do something wrong? And all of a sudden these conflicts come up. And what's so crazy to me is that the givers will not feel like they can be angry or they can say what they want to say because they're so used to listening and giving that they don't feel comfortable in that place.
That's right.
And we want those givers to feel comfortable in that place.
And as always, we don't want to paint things in extreme black or white.
No.
Right? No. So there's a giver out there. You know, we are inclined to say, well, they're a person who's full of generosity and goodwill, and we tend to think of those people as almost saintly. But at the same time, they may be too selfless, right? They may be so selfless that they can't care for themselves, that they forget how to give to themselves and how to accept, how to take once in a while, right? Because like everything in life, there has to be a balance. So I think it is possible for givers to just give too much and they become depleted.
Yeah.
Depleted emotionally, depleted of their time, depleted financially. So it is important to have a balance. And let's talk about takers. So takers, I would say, are the people who, as I mentioned before, they go into every interaction thinking how they can benefit from it, how they can benefit the most by contributing the least.
Yeah, I mean, all you've got is yourself.
Right.
Right.
And it's a very kind of, I don't know if you want to say Machiavellian way to go through life, but again, I don't think we need to look at takers as, you know, and paint them with this broad brush of, oh, selfish, you know, short-sighted, right? Greedy. Because
a lot of the takers are the innovators of the world.
Absolutely.
People that people look up to, the people that have the most original ideas, because they're not asking everybody if this is the right or wrong thing to do. They're just doing it.
Right. I bet you Steve Jobs was probably a taker.
Right, and a lot of people have mixed opinions about Steve Jobs, but he got things done, and now Apple is one of the biggest companies.
Very hard for me to judge one way or another, both givers and takers, especially when you consider, you know, a taker could be someone who's spent their whole life struggling, right? Nothing came easy to them. You know, everything they got, they had to work incredibly hard for it, and they're determined to rise up from an overwhelmingly challenging situation. And pragmatically, this is how they go through life. And who am I to judge that? You know, if that's their reality. So we have givers and we have takers. And we have a third group, which is actually, Julian, where most people fall into.
Okay, so
People...
I'm about to blow my mind. What is this group?
Most people don't fall into a purely, you know, one outlook or another.
There's people that give a lot and then they say, well, you know what, I want a day to myself. And then there's the people that want a million days to themselves, but then they, you know, every now and then on Mother's Day, they'll be beautifully generous to their mother and beautifully generous to their fathers on Father's Day. Or they'll take a day out and just call the people that they care about and let them know.
Right.
And even though they tend to be the taking type.
The concept of the third concept that we have here has been generally developed by a man named Adam Grant, and he's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He wrote a book called Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success. And what they did was they did a lot of research into the business world, into the workforce, and they looked at people who are givers, people who are takers, and this third group that he calls people who are matchers, right? And a matcher is somebody who tries to maintain an even balance of give and take. So they're the sort of person who looks at the world as a balanced place. They're the type of person that would say something like, what goes around comes around. You know, if I help you, Julian, I expect you to help me in return. And they believe, you know, these are people who believe in fairness as a principle.
Yeah, perhaps even karma. You
and
know.
Karma, there you go. So most people are actually matchers. And, you know, this guy who wrote the book, Professor Adam Grant, he looked at the data that they accumulated on, you know, how successful people became in the workforce. And he said it was one of the most fascinating questions when he started doing the research. So he assumed that the givers would find themselves at the so-called bottom, that they would have given so much of themselves and maybe people would have walked all over them and they would wind up as, you know, some of the least successful people. And, you know, he also said that he would assume that takers would have trouble because takers are the kind of people who may burn bridges. So he assumed before the research was done that the matchers would be the most successful people because they're more generous than takers, but at the same time, they're protecting their own interests as they go along. And what he found was that at the top are actually the givers who are overrepresented at the top in positions of, successful positions, high earners, but they're also overrepresented at the bottom. So what he found was that givers kind of gravitate toward the extremes of the spectrum. They either become very successful or they have a lot of trouble advancing. So in sales, he found the most productive salespeople are those who put their customers' interest first. And that, you know, that in turn creates a lot of trust and goodwill. And it also creates positive reputations.
Right, because then the takers end up burning all these bridges everywhere. They can kind of say, well, I don't like you because you bother me, and then all of a sudden they're out of the office.
Right. And, you know, the matchers he found were people who had this strong sense of justice and believed in a just world. And for a matcher, they look at a taker, and, you know, the taker really goes against that belief. So the matchers can't stand to see these takers getting ahead, and they often either consciously or subconsciously try to punish matchers. And on the flip side, matchers see, you know, as matchers don't like to see the takers getting away with taking more than they give, they also don't like seeing people who are so generous and don't get rewarded for that generosity. And matchers often go out of their way to support and promote and help givers.
Right. So this matcher stuff that we're talking about,
kind of the balancer.
They're these people that say, that's not fair, that's not fair, that's not fair on all the ends of the spectrum. Whether it's somebody giving way too much and they say, well, this guy never gets anything back. Well, what's his deal? Why is he not getting anything back? Or and this girl, this she just takes everything. Why does she take everything and she never gives anybody else? And they kind of try to, you think they mediate the world a little bit?
I think so. You know, I think so. I personally view myself as a matcher, and I know that I find that myself most comfortable in the company of other matchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think nothing of, you know, inviting friends into my home or, you know, every now and then picking up the tab for everyone. But at the same time, when it happens over and over again and people don't reciprocate, you know, it's not like I'm sitting there at home keeping score, but, you know, by the same token, Julian, I like to think that, you know, there is an equitable balance in every relationship.
Absolutely.
And when there's not, that does affect me. So I'm curious. This is you listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Julian Joiello. We're talking about givers and takers, and we've also introduced the matchers, who are sort of more balanced.
Right, so we got these three types. Now, I'm sure those who are listening, they're saying, okay, I'm a giver, or
sure,
I'm a taker. And then there's that one guy, and he's like, well, actually, there's probably a lot of guys and a lot of girls saying, actually, I'm a matcher. I did both of those things.
It certainly is a lot harder to cop to the fact that you may be a taker.
I feel like that must be the hardest one.
Yeah.
Probably. And I think a lot of givers might not realize that. They'll say, actually, I don't know which one. Maybe I'm a matcher, but I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I never really feel angry with people. I don't really talk about my own stuff. Wait a second. I'm a giver. And I think a giver, to identify a giver, you have to kind of look back at their childhood a little bit, too. If you look at a giver's childhood, I bet that you found that the givers weren't allowed to be angry very often. I don't think these giving types were allowed to be angry. I think a lot of the time they were worried about everybody else's emotions, maybe their parents, maybe their brothers and sisters, maybe their friends in school. They would say, oh, I don't want to make anybody angry, so I'm just going to be this really pleasant person and kind of always be nice and be sweet. And then it kind of became part of them as they got older. They just became that kind of person, and that's who they are, and they started rescuing kinds of people, and their relationships became, let's find somebody who I can fix.
That's so common.
Let me find somebody who needs me. And so then they get in this relationship, and there's this taking kind of person.
Let me find this broken-winged bird, and
right,
I'll nurse
yeah.
it back to health, but
no,
then I'm going to be surprised when it flies away.
No, but really, yeah. And then what if it's a broken-winged bird? What if this bird has no wing ever? You know, what if it can't fly away ever? And then that's kind of satisfying in a way that you can take care of this person forever. And then they become so dependent on you that if you disappeared, they would die. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's what givers, and on the extreme side of things, I think givers will end up taking on that much responsibility because it's satisfying for them.
I think in a relationship and with the dynamic you're describing, I think that a lot of givers out there would love to be with a taker and vice versa. And I think that a lot of matchers would maybe feel guilty or uncomfortable to be with a giver.
And, or a taker.
Or resentful if to be with a taker.
Right, I think matchers probably end up with other matchers.
Sure.
But, you know, there's the guy who goes into, you know, he likes a girl and he gives her and gives her and gives all this stuff and she doesn't really care. And then, you know, he kind of ends up saying, why doesn't she like me? I've given so much to her. And these givers often feel like this and they don't get the feelings back. I mean, I can imagine two givers together. I feel like that must be kind of rare because like givers, a lot of the time, they'll say, well, what can I give to this person? And if the person responds saying, well, actually, forget me. What about you, man? I just want to give to you. And then it's like, this is boring. I want to go somewhere else. They don't need anything from me.
You know what
I don't
reminds
have any
me
control
of?
Here.
Yeah, it reminds me of a situation where two cars come to, you know, a four-way stop sign.
Right.
And the one person waves the next car ahead, and the other person, you know, is, no, I insist, after you. And there becomes this little courtesy battle, this little battle over who's going to let the other person go first. You know, after you. No, I insist, after you.
No, after you.
Yeah,
and that,
that's what happens
hour.
When two givers pull up at a stop sign.
And then
sign.
One guy just goes right through the middle of them.
Right, the taker.
And he's like, you know what? I got to be somewhere. So we're talking about givers and takers here on The Positive Mind. We're 5 minutes to our half-hour break, but I'm sure all of our listeners are thinking about what kind of person they are, what kind of giver, taker, matcher. Where on the spectrum are you? This is not three different points. This is a spectrum. So yeah. We've got people who are extreme givers who need to be in, you know, and extreme givers are not bad in a sense. I mean, these are the people that really, really give. The people that go to homeless shelters every day. They don't get paid. They don't get it. They just want to be there, give, expect nothing back.
I don't think any of these types are inherently good or bad.
No, not at all.
Because
not at all.
I don't think you can have a pure giver without there being pure takers out there necessarily.
Absolutely.
So I'd be interested to hear from our listeners, A, what you consider yourself. Do you think of yourself as a giver, a taker, or a matcher? And B, maybe, you know, someone in your life that comes to mind when you think of these terms.
Yeah, I love to hear, you know, if you're in a relationship right now and you find yourself being the giving type, what does that kind of do to your relationship? Or, you know, what happened when you with your parents? What was your relationship like with your parents when you were younger? Were you not allowed to be angry, or were you always angry? You know, and how does that relate to your giving and taking psychology? But 212-757-5555 is our phone number. As always, 212-757-5555. We'd love to get one call in before our break at 1:30.
Yeah, we're gonna take your phone calls and give you an opportunity to sound out on the subject.
Beautiful, beautiful. 212-757-5555 is our number. Give us a call, and you know, we'll try to get one call before the break. If not, we'll take it afterwards. But we'd love to hear from those who feel like they, you know, especially those on the extreme ends of the spectrum. It'd be interesting to hear from you. It's like, you know, hey, how are you doing today? It's like, no, how are you doing?
Yeah, and you know what? Don't be ashamed to call in and say if you think you're a taker, because I think we, you know, we should look at it from more of a sort of a neutral standpoint without assigning labels and judgments to these categories. Some people are givers, some people are takers, some people are matchers, as we've said. And we'll be taking some of your phone calls. I believe we have one on the line ready to go.
Yeah, that's Adam Davies we got. Adam Davies, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very well.
I had a question about are there situations in which two givers could kind of, you know, affect each other such that they could cause one to be a taker in that instance, but in another instance, the one that becomes a taker might be a giver. Is it kind of fluid like that, or?
I think that's a really interesting idea. I think when two givers meet each other, I bet that one person eventually starts giving more than the other, and one eventually starts taking more than the other. And then, you know, not as solidly as one's taking something from someone else and one's giving something, but let's say that there's two givers, and one starts talking about their, about, you know, their life and all these troubles that they're having, and then they realize that they have a safe place to do it because this giver's just listening and facilitating the conversation. And then all of a sudden, they start talking, and then that becomes the chemistry between the two. And I think what happens is this giving and taking and matching, these are the, you know, sort of core value, the way a lot of these people will go about the world and meeting people and interacting with people. But when they find a relationship, I bet it changes. I bet it changes to apply to the context of how they both live in each other's world.
Adam, you consider yourself a giver?
Yes, I do.
I thought so.
No, yeah. He asked, how are you? Right after I asked him, and that's great, and I love that. And so do you find yourself in a relationship kind of like this? What's your experience?
I find myself in a relationship, and it has confused me in the past and actually kind of brought about some turmoil with myself, because in most instances, I am a giver. However, I've witnessed myself become a taker, and I'm uncomfortable with it when it happens.
Well, Adam, what's so interesting about that is that I think what's happening is the giver is giving so much that they want to be a taker. I think that there's a part in you, and you know, you want to, but at the same time, it makes you uncomfortable because it's not how you usually are. But the second you get to take a little bit, you get to, you know, talk about yourself, you get to receive a gift from somebody that's thoughtful, all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is amazing. I'm getting back a little bit of what I give so much to people. And I think it's very satisfying, but then you feel guilty about it because you're saying, well, but I'm supposed to be giving. I'm not supposed to be taking. I want to.
And I imagine that if, Adam, if you're a giver, that, you know, you haven't entered into a relationship and suddenly become a total taker. I'm sure you're still giving quite a lot to your partner, your significant other. However, I think what makes you uncomfortable is that you're so used to the dynamic being one where you're the giver, and that even though you still give to this person, the other person gives so much that you become a net taker. And that's what's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. That is exactly it.
Thank you so much for calling. We're actually coming up on our break, but want to say one thing. I don't know if you listened to The Positive Mind when Armand was around, but he would always...
No, I didn't catch it. Sorry.
Armand was our old host for 35 years, my uncle, and he passed away about 8 months ago. And he would just always say to not feel uncomfortable with your feelings. And I want to just tell you that you being a taker for a little while is not wrong. I mean, I know you might feel uncomfortable there, but you have no reason to feel afraid to feel that way. No reason to feel ashamed or guilty, because you deserve it, man.
That is very sweet of you. I'm very sorry to hear about your uncle, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling,
Adam. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We lost. Sorry about that. We're playing a little bit of music. Thank you so much for calling, Adam. And this is Julian Joel and Ben Starr in the studio with The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM. We'll be right back.
It's been a long time since we spoke.
And that's a group called Homeshake with a track called Making a Fool Out of You. Making a Fool of You here on 99.5 FM WBAI. You tune into The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr here with Julian Gioiello. We're taking your calls about whether you are a giver, a taker, or a matcher. Be great to hear from a taker. We heard from a giver. And it'd be great to hear from a matcher who's in a relationship with another matcher.
I love hearing about the way that these givers, takers, and matchers interact with each other. And I think what's great and what Adam brought up is that they do affect each other, and they do set up an environment for one to leave their comfort zone, which could be givers or takers or matchers. So maybe a matcher becomes a taker and a giver becomes a taker, and then all of a sudden there's two takers and they're yelling at each other, and then one of them starts listening to the other yelling, and then one becomes a giver, and you've got all this stuff going around. I think it's nice to just know that this is a very fluid thing. We're not saying one is something forever, one is the other way forever, one's wrong, one's right. It's just something to be aware of. And that's what we like to talk about. We actually have Chris on the line here. Chris, hey, how you doing?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, very
okay,
clearly.
Okay, hi. I had to put in my two cents here because your observation first about givers and anger, I think, is a really interesting one to explore.
Absolutely.
Because I think not only in terms of givers and takers, but I think the issue of expressing anger is really overlooked very often in our society in general.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our right. Very often that you are angry because you have a very specific justification for being angry. And, you know, I think that to recognize this, that you have as a human being the right to express that anger, you don't have to stifle it. And I think very often it's stifled because of a lot of political correctness. Anyway,
right.
I just wanted to throw that in there. That wasn't my main comment. I just wanted to tell you that was a very good observation.
No, thank you very much. I mean, and I learned that from Armand, of course. I mean, here, if you've ever been to the DeMille Center, any of those who are listening, where we do broadcast from, you'll hear screams and banging every now and then. And it's not dangerous. It's actually people letting it out because there's very few places that people feel comfortable doing that.
No, exactly. But earlier you were talking about, one of you said, you were talking about takers, and
yeah.
I just wanted to disagree on one point. Presented the three, you said takers, givers, and what was the other one?
Matchers.
The matchers, right. You said about Steve Jobs, he was a taker, and then you said something to the effect that, you know, he was an innovator, and you said you cited all of the positive aspects of a taker. Now, generally speaking, when we say that someone is a taker, okay, it's not necessarily all bad, but it suggests that it is someone who actually, what is in it for me is actually the starting point. When someone, you know, I think it's a way of perceiving just life in general, that what's in it for me, if there's nothing in it for me, you know what I mean? A giver doesn't think that way. I think, and by the way, I think that sometimes we do have moments, and there are people who are pure givers, in the
Absolutely.
Sense that, you know, if you can say that anything is pure, you know, certainly if something makes you feel good, you can also make the argument that, well, it makes me feel good, and that's why I'm doing it. But what I mean to say is that sometimes people just give because they just want to give, and I'm not talking just about monetary or gift.
Oh, not
I
at
mean,
all, right.
Right, you know, and so I just think that needs to be acknowledged in American society because very honestly, and I'm not being negative, but I just think the way things are today, I think that just our whole structure has mm-hmm. been, even though we give a lot of lip service to things, and I think there are individually, there are people who do it because they want to do it, okay? But I think that the American society has become extreme takers.
No, I mean, and American society, the capitalist part of it, is very supportive of a meritocracy type, you know, economy, where people are sort of just like, you're born, and if you can get what you get, you deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, so you work hard enough, you deserve what you've gotten, and that's it.
Chris, where do you see yourself on this issue?
Well, I'll tell you. I tend to very often respond with, that's not fair, because
I'm the same way.
Right. I mean, I am a giver. I feel good just giving something because I like to give it, and even when, you know, when I would give gifts, and I would always be very, it's just my own personal issue, you mm-hmm. know, I was very specific for the person I was shopping for. I wanted to make sure that they really liked it, so it was almost like I was creating a painting. I mean, it was just a very personal thing with me, but I do respond with the, it's not fair. I have a very strong sense of fair play, and so I would have to say that. I just want to say one more thing about taking. Just an example.
Sure.
I was listening not too long ago, and this issue has come up regarding, for example, the point of tip giving in restaurants.
Right.
And it was earlier this year. I don't remember what I was listening to. And they were saying that they want to implement in restaurants now that they will require
a requirement, okay? Right, in America.
Right. A required. And I mean, this issue had come up some years ago in the more high-end restaurants,
right,
that they would put like 18% gratuity tax.
They would just kind of throw it on the receipt, right?
Right. And now they were talking about just, I forget where it was. It was just a regular restaurant. It was not a very expensive restaurant. They were saying, and the person on the radio and the interviewer I was listening to was actually advocating this in a very civilized way, saying that, well, you know, if you know, customers have to consider that the waiters and the people who, you know, are serving you are actually dependent on this for their salary. I just want to make this point, and this is what I'm saying about the society in general and the way of perceiving things has become totally taken,
uh-huh,
because a tip, by definition, is something that you, as a customer, will give to someone who has served you because, for whatever reason, because you like the way they serve you. This should never be a mandatory.
Right, it's almost a little bit of a gift, which is interesting because originally I think it must have started that way, but as it sort of went on, they said, "Oh, well, these people are getting all this gift money, so we need to."
So now we can pay them less than minimum wage.
Right.
But that's the point. They're putting it on your back as a customer. You are going there, and you go to a restaurant because you want to be served, because you want to enjoy yourself. You don't feel like cooking. And they're putting it on your back to pay the salary. That's not your responsibility. That's the responsibility of the restaurant owner. And the idea, I mean, the point is, it's not because you're going to be giving what they're telling you. It is that everything is taken now, and it is completely skewed and turned upside down, and you're being told now that this is what you have to do. And I thought to myself, you know, if I find that in a restaurant, I will not go to that restaurant for the sheer principle of it, because it's just incorrect. And rather than telling you, and rather than people saying, you know, it's incorrect, he was actually advocating this. And I'm thinking to myself, that is bizarre.
Chris,
you know what I mean? It's kind of like this. I use it as a sort of a metaphor for the way of thinking in America today. It's just
that's,
rampant.
That's
in
a
everything.
Very, very interesting idea, Chris. And thank you so much for bringing it up with us
thank
and
you
talking
for
with
letting
us
me
today.
Speak.
No. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. And we're going to actually try to get a couple more callers in today.
Okay.
But thank you for sharing with us and talking to us today.
Thank you. 212-757-5555. Sounds like Chris is somewhere between a giver and a matcher, maybe floating on the edge of both.
Yeah, right. I mean, you shouldn't be forced to give. I think it should hopefully come from a place that's natural for you. And at the same time, you know, you should take a little bit every now and then, too.
And, you know, I understand that, you know, the tipping thing is a pretty controversial subject, but anyone who's worked in the service industry knows that tips can be the difference between just barely getting by and, you know, a better standard of living. So I understand the controversy around it, but I also encourage everyone out there to be nice to people who are serving you in whatever capacity.
Right. We've got John on the line. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, John.
Hey.
So what's your feelings on this subject? We've talked a lot about giving and taking, where they kind of come from, and in this sort of spectrum we wanted to set up for everybody. Where do you find yourself on this?
I find myself sometimes in the middle. I wait for other people to see. The people I put myself around, I surround myself with people I see. Hey, you're a taker, I do opposite of you, you know, to see how you counteract with me.
So you're kind of like a balancer, like that matcher idea, it's sort of this person who lies in the middle and says, well, we're on this seesaw between you and me, and I'm going to go on the other side and put just enough weight to make it balanced.
Great metaphor.
Yeah. I like that a lot. So how does that work for you? What is that like? Do you find your relationships being very fruitful, or is it difficult? And you're constantly mediating, and then you find yourself only focusing on keeping peace.
Yeah, a lot of times I do. I see, you know, it's when I see people, a lot of times they take sometimes, you know, the kindness for weakness, you know.
right?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are, oh yeah, I like people that are more aggressive, or they get what they want, and they don't take other people's anger without, you know, just saying, oh, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a very good point, John, about people mistaking kindness for weakness, and that's why we preface some of this discussion with, let's not paint any of these groups with a broad stroke, right? Because a giver, we don't want to categorize them as, hey, their kindness is weakness, and likewise, we don't want to categorize them as, you know, this sort of altruistic, saintly person. The reality is much more nuanced than that. So thank you, John, for the call. We do want to get to a few more callers before the end of the show, but we appreciate it. And it's good to hear from someone who's in the middle, a matcher.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, my friend.
You too. You too, John.
212-757-5555.
Yeah, I see a couple of lines lit up, but we have this weird system here. If you are on hold, call back 212-757-5555. Our main line is open, and that's where we receive the calls. And then they kind of bounce over to other lines.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from matchers out there who are in a relationship with another matcher.
Yeah,
and takers out there who are willing to go on the air and say that you're a taker.
And I really like hearing about that. We got a call coming in right now. One second.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're out there and you know you're thinking of yourself as a giver or a taker, what we found through some of the reading and the research we've done is that most people naturally gravitate towards being matchers, towards thinking about the world in terms of what goes around comes around, right? Karma is a boomerang, and I'm interested to hear from more matchers, but also anyone out there who's willing to talk about their experience as a taker. We'd love to hear that, too.
And a lot of this stuff, I think, stems back to childhood, as always. I mean, Armand would always bring it back there. And I think we can say that most people who were givers were in some way stunted about the... They weren't allowed to be takers when they were younger. They weren't allowed to do something that would anger somebody else or make them unhappy. And so they became very pleasant people, and that's where they became comfortable. And then vice versa for the takers. So we've got Chiche on the line, I think. Chiche?
Hello?
Hey, can you actually lower your radio in the background? We don't want to get the echo through here. We want to have a nice clear call.
I don't even have it on. You still hear something? Hello?
Not anymore. I don't think. I think we're good now.
Okay.
Maybe it was a little echo. How you doing?
I am TK, like a cup of tea.
Oh, okay, TK. Very nice to talk to you.
I started off a taker.
Okay. So when you were
the
younger,
majority
you felt
of my
like
life,
okay.
I was a taker.
Got you.
I was first born, and the first 10 years of my life, I was solo before even of a sibling started coming down the pike.
Right.
So I got used to me, mine, mine's, give.
That's interesting how birth order can definitely play a part in that.
Yeah.
And I really didn't see how selfish that was. I guess when you're constantly giving, it's hard to notice that you're taking.
Right. Well, it becomes normal. I mean, if you're a giver, giving is normal. When you're a taker, taking is normal. So that becomes
exactly.
your world.
Exactly. But as I guess, matured and got older, I started to like look at myself like, it's kind of Machiavellian in a way, because everything is about, like one of your last callers said, everything is about what's in it for me. I found that there was very little that I did that I wasn't already thinking of what I would get out of it before I even began to do it.
So you were saying that you originally were a taker, and now you've sort of moved on to, what do you think you are now?
Now I am in the middle.
You're in
the
matcher.
Now I am, now I am, I guess how I was raised in the Catholic Church, but I'm not a Catholic. So now I am very much due unto others.
Now, was this a long-term process that helped you move into this, TK, or was there an event that sort of opened your eyes to it, or did it sort of gradually happen over time?
I fell in love with a taker.
Great, great.
Isn't that crazy?
So you were both, were you both
because
takers?
When I met her, I was still very much a taker.
Right.
And I fell in love with another taker who actually was an even bigger taker than I was.
Incredible.
And then so she kind of came in, she trumped your taking abilities and said, you know what, you need to give to me a little bit more. And slowly that became who you were with her.
Yeah, exactly. Slowly I became...
So, question for you, TK. Yeah. So since you came from, you were a taker and now you're more of a giver, but you're in the middle. You're a matcher. You've got that middle ground. When you give, does it feel like something that's selfless, or does it feel like something like, you know, I feel good about this, but, you know, I'm giving and you're not asking for anything back, but it makes you feel good, or do you want something back when you give?
In the beginning,
I'm asking you to be honest with us. That's all.
In the beginning, it was, okay, I'm looking out for you. I know you're going to look out for me, right?
Right.
Right, that's a classic matcher.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, we just wanted to know what kind of feelings you were feeling.
Yeah, I wasn't keeping tab, but I was.
Right, like if you watch your friend's back several times, and then that one time comes along when you really need him and he's not there, it's going to be really frustrating for you.
There you go.
Very
frustrating. I found myself in that place with her.
So last question.
Wow.
My last question for you is, by your move to the middle, TK, did she notice that? And were you did she eventually move to the middle herself?
Wow, that's excellent, because that is where we are right now. She didn't notice it at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess as time went on, then she noticed it, and her way of noticing it was, I became a person in her eyes that had no responsibilities, because when she met me, she was like, you know, you're not even responsible for a goldfish. You don't even go home and, like, feed a fish, you know.
Right.
And now,
what's that fish gonna do for me?
That she sees as very responsible.
Interesting.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, TK. That's really insightful stuff, and it was great hearing from someone who went in as a taker and has felt a little bit changed after having another relationship with a bigger taker than yourself. Very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Perfect, TK, and the kind of wisdom that, you know, is only really acquired through true experience, that level of understanding. There goes TK.
There goes TK. And thank you so much for calling TK, John, Chris, and Adam today. We have one more caller coming right through. 1 second.
That's right. So we've so far heard from a giver, a couple people who are sort of in the middle, and a person who is a taker and moved to the middle. So we've had a nice balance, Julian, today of people calling in. We have time for one more caller. So let's hear from Claudia. Claudia's on the line. Thanks for calling us in today.
Thank you for having this topic.
Of course.
Before the end of the year, I was raised as a giver, and the repercussion, the sadness, the wanting to know why I am the way I am. It was just mind-blowing when I finally found out about the child in me. I know so many people who are disabled and how the AIDS take advantage of their homes. I love this young lady that was Felipe. And she took $400 two weeks ago.
Sorry to hear that, Claudia.
The hurt was insane.
And the betrayal hurts a lot more than the dollars, right?
You know what? I kept on asking God to let it go. But the moment I wanted to buy something, the moment I want to give something to somebody, I truly was uncomfortable because I'm not a taker.
And we were talking with a giver who didn't feel totally comfortable taking every now and then either. And I want to talk to you, Claudia. It sounds like you have a lot of difficulty that you've faced in your life. And being a giver, it can be really tough because you don't often get the time to say how you feel, to be angry, to be frustrated. And even when you do, it feels uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Not only does it feel uncomfortable, but I get myself in a meditative form because I understand who I am. And I had to end this agency because now I know how to operate. The hurt is unbearable. And even when I went to get electroshock treatment, I understood that I forgave those who trespass against me. But the sensations of my spirit does cause me, you gotta change, Claudia.
Yeah, well, you know something, Claudia? There's nothing wrong with having been raised as a giver, and it's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, it's okay to take. It's okay to look out for yourself.
Yeah, and it does sound
and
like
it's important.
You are slowly learning to feel comfortable and trust that who you are. And I think that's really, really important. I mean, thank you so much for sharing with us, Claudia, because this is very difficult.
It's such a beautiful feeling to know who you are. And thank you so very much for having this topic before the end of the year. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for participating today, Claudia.
It's a lot of bravery coming from you right now, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There we go. And we're coming to a close here on The Positive Mind. In the last couple of minutes, we just want to thank, again, Claudia, who just spoke to us so vulnerably and shared us, you know, her innermost feelings about all this. Really fantastic. Thank you so much, TK, for sharing his relationships and how they've affected him as a giver and a taker. John, Chris, and Adam Davies. Thank you so much, guys,
for great calls today. Thank you so much to everyone who called. And as always, thanks for tuning in. And as always, to our WBAI audience, thank you so much for being givers and helping keep this station alive.
Absolutely.
Because we couldn't do this without you. And that means a lot to us.
Yeah, and you can always find our archives on thepositivemind.com, which will be getting a revamp very, very soon. I know it has a little bit of an old school vibe to it, but we're going to be up with the times on the internet very soon on thepositivemind.com. But you can still tune in on there if you miss an episode, or go to our podcasts on iTunes. Yeah. If you've got an iPhone or iTunes of any kind on your phone.
You can look us up in the iTunes store, and it's absolutely free.
Yeah,
you
The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM you've been listening to. Thank you so much to everybody who contributed today. Again,
join us tomorrow, too, for it's going to be our last show of the year.
Yes, it will be last show of the year. We're going to have a little bit of a talk back. We loved hearing from the callers today, and we're going to hear from a little more tomorrow and kind of wrap things up. And also, make sure to send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org if you'd like to send us a letter, thoughts, music, anything you've got. We'd love to hear it. Suggestions, complaints, please send it over, positivemind@wbai.org. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. You've been listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and The Positive Mind. I'm Julian Joiello.
I'm Ben Starr.
Take care.